Hey, welcome to the show this Sunday. Dave, you had a little bit of housekeeping before we get into birds on some fur bearers or something?
Yeah. We got some regulation changes to talk about in regards to bobcat pelt sealing. So some of the dates and times have changed in the regs. So
what? Hold on, back up. What in the heck is a pelt sealing?
You know, when you trap or shoot a bobcat,
right,
you need to take it into the Department of Wildlife and get it sealed.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So that's what you're talking about. There's been a change to that process.
Yeah, there's been a change to that. Basically, just dates and times. So
okay.
It's no longer an option to take it to Eureka. You'll have to go to Ely, and the Ely location is no longer the Department of Wildlife office. It is now the Blue Diamond property on Pioche Highway in Ely.
So for like Washoe County residents?
That hasn't changed.
Nothing changed there.
No,
okay.
Those are the only changes that have gone on for the bobcat sealing. The office in Eureka is no longer an option.
Okay.
And then the office in Ely has changed from the Endow office itself to the Blue Diamond property on Pioche Highway.
Gotcha. Okay, I wanted to ask you, what license do I have to do this kind of stuff? I'm not a trapper at all, but I know you have to have some sort of special license, even if I just want to go out and shoot bobcats.
Yeah, you have to have the fur-bearing permit.
Fur-bearer
permit.
Is that just an over-the-counter thing I buy?
Yeah, you can acquire that. I think you can get on endowlicense.com.
The Calcame deal?
Yeah, the Calcame. Calcame.
Don't get me started on Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so even...
Actually, sounds like something you would take if you have like indigestion, like Pepto-Bismol, like Calcame.
Well, it gives me indigestion when I use it, so maybe I need to try some Pepto-Bismol.
Hey, it's you know, it got a lot of awards for that system, the department did. You know,
oh, they did?
Yeah, for how well it works. I mean, there's a lot of other states that have contracted with Calcami over the last several years.
Is that how you say it? Calcami?
I don't know. I change it every time I say it.
Okay, good.
Calcami, Calcami, Calcamo.
I will tell you, I've noticed the last like 3-4 years.
It's gender fluid.
100%. Yeah.
Shut up, David.
That's the world we live in. No, I was going to say the last 3-4 years, it's been okay. But I remember... this goes back to maybe like 2010-ish, 11-ish. Oh, it was just a nightmare to navigate. It was a headache.
The Calcami when it first started?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's just like anything. It's going to have some bugs and some issues with it. And then, you know, they always go through pilot programs where they send it out there and let people tinker with it and mess with it and go through the motions. And then they find a lot of issues that way. But then it really takes, you know, once it gets launched is when you really find some of the really deep-rooted, tangled knots.
Well, just like I can find the design problems with a bow.
See?
I can find the problems with a website.
Exactly, because there were some. Yeah, I mean, there were some when it first started. It was some of the boat registration issues were kind of really tangled up, and then hunting licenses. Because you got to remember, they had to take all the information that already existed within a different system.
Right.
And then bring it into a whole new system. And sometimes those downloading or transitional processes don't exactly go as smooth as you think. So.
No, it did not for me.
It did not for me either. It's because my son is a junior.
And
that makes me not a junior.
More than
or less than or better than. Whichever it was. So some of our information got interchanged. That had to get resolved.
He became you. Yeah. Were there points getting mixed up?
No, it was nothing with the points. It was more like phone numbers and address type of stuff.
Gotcha.
It kind of got a little hinky there. And it was like, no, that's not right. And then I wasn't receiving certain things. I'm like, I wonder why I'm not receiving this stuff. Well, it was going to my son's email. And so it just got, it was just a matter of, okay. These are kind of, they're irritating because you're hoping they don't occur.
Right.
But they're easy fixes.
It's part of the process.
It's part of the process. Yeah. It's easy fix. It got taken care of and
we're good now.
Yeah, we're good years later.
All right, let's switch gears and youth trucker. Yeah. Open last weekend, right?
Yeah, the first weekend for Youth Chucker was September. It started September 30th, and it'll close up here today, October 8th.
Right.
It ends up. So it's a great time to, you know, take a youngster out, your kid, your nephew, your cousin, your neighbor's kid, whatever it might be that mentor, show them how the process is, you know, how to hunt properly and the whole thing. Get them hooked on it, man. Get them hooked. It's a great thing.
And the stakes are fairly low. Like you don't have to go, you know, we've all got those chucker spots. It's like, I'm going to do Everest today.
Yes. Don't do that.
Don't do that. But I mean, it's, you know, it's not like a big game hunt where you've got a bunch of time, money, et cetera, invested. Like, get them out, walk the foothills, maybe scratch out a couple birds.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like a low risk way to get kids into hunting.
Well, yeah. You know, and also expend a lot of that energy those little ooh, guys have,
amen.
Man. Just
yeah.
Get them on a trail, a road or something and get going. Then as we've stated in previous shows from our adventures out in the hills so far this year, there's a lot of chucker. I mean,
ton of birds.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it too, right? It's quail as well.
It's upland.
Upland basically
it's
for
all
youth.
Upland. Yeah. It's Hungarians, it's chucker, it's quail.
It's not like waterfowl hunting where they've got to be able to discern like, hey, this is a hen, whatever. Like I can only shoot so many of those.
Exactly.
If it gets up while you're out there, let them take a whack at it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and get them behind a good dog, man, that just, I know my son and a couple of his friends, and when we would go out, they just thought that was the
coolest
thing, was watching that dog actually work.
Oh, yeah, it is.
My son's first bird, he sluiced it.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
He dry gulched it?
And he just, he kept looking at me like, Dad, what do I do? What do I do? And these birds would not get up. We kept walking closer to him. The dog's pointing, like, now we're in front of the dog. And these birds are just like walking in front of us. And I said, teach them a lesson. Find the one you want. Just drill it into the dirt.
Okay. If we're being real, I'll put this out there. You know, everybody's got their own ethics. I mean, as recently as a couple years ago, I dry gulched a bird.
Yeah.
It was just running across the thing there. And it was like, oh, hey, look, there's a bird. Whack. Okay. Throw that in the vest and keep going.
That was it. And the thing was, after he shot... None of them got up after that. They just kept, then they just started running. And I was like, well, that was just a group that just didn't know how to fly.
I'm not above doing it. I know people out there listening right now are probably rolling their eyes and maybe I'm not.
They're probably on their computer right now
sending
us an
email. Yeah.
Like, how disgusting of you. You guys aren't hunters. Well
I got to be real. I'd do it again if the opportunity. I mean, I'll give them an opportunity to get up. I'll even do the like, hey, bird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, same here.
But if it's still running?
Yeah, I'll toss rocks. I'll do something. There have been times where I've actually shot a shot above them. Just
to
like
get them up?
Just to shoot to see what happens.
Yeah.
And then if they get up, then I'll get to wasting. Well, at least I'll get to shooting towards them. But if they don't, I'm like, well, you know what? I just put 2 miles on my feet. I'm not walking back to the truck without something in my vest.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sluice time.
Yeah. And for the youth thing, if I'm taking a kid out there, I want them to be able to shoot. I have zero issues with a kid picking a few off the dirt and going home with birds.
Because the smile on their face, man, they are so elated when they're holding those red legs up and they're just like, dude.
Hey, let me ask you on the youth thing. It's still 12 years old, right?
No.
They got to have a hunting license, or is it a free-for-all?
Well, depending on age, but the youth is 17 and younger. If you're within that age range that you have to have a hunting license,
yes,
then you have to have a hunting license. But the kids younger than that, say you're taking your kid out at 10.
Yeah, you can do that.
They can... We better check on that. But I think it was something along the lines, as long as they're with a licensed hunter.
Hey, let's take a quick break there. When we come back, we'll talk about guns for chucker or just upland in general. We'll talk huns, snowcock, and the dogs versus no dogs debate. It's all coming up on Nevada Backcountry.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging in there over the break. We are back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Let's go into other upland species that are open right now. And the big one, snowcock. I've never shot one. Have you?
I haven't shot one. I've got to see a lot.
Yeah.
And curse them while they're in front of you at 15 feet.
Yeah.
But they're a really, really cool bird.
Only place in the world you can hunt them right here in Nevada, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Elko and White Pine County are the two counties you can hunt them.
Okay. And over the break, you were saying that there are some, I think of them as strictly a rubies bird, but you were saying there's some in some other ranges as well.
Yeah. I think that those two ranges that I mentioned on break, I think are incorrect.
Oh, okay. So never mind. Well, so let's skip that.
We can skip that.
Go to the rubies.
Go to the rubies. Yeah. So yeah, it's Elko and White Pine counties. And
okay.
I mean, hunting ends November 30th.
Right.
November 30th, the season started September 1st and ends. I've got a few friends that are hardcore right now after snowcock. They're out there. They're driving out there every weekend.
Have either of them or however? No, they haven't gotten
one. No, there's three of them and none of them have harvested yet.
Okay.
They've heard them. They've seen them. They haven't gotten within a range, I guess.
Have they gotten them in the past? Or no?
Yeah, two of them have.
Okay, okay.
Two of them have already harvested snowcocks in the past. My third friend, he's jonesing for it.
What's the appeal to them? Have you asked them?
No, I haven't. I probably should.
Because, I mean, I want one, but it's just strictly because I haven't shot one.
And that could be the appeal.
Yeah, but I think
the appeal is just like, okay, I
have the rarity?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, people who are just straight birders.
Right.
And they'll travel halfway across the country to see a ivory-billed woodpecker.
Right, right. Okay.
And you're like, why?
Yeah,
I can Google it.
I can look at it on my phone. Yeah.
But yeah, they want to like, might be something like that. Like, I want to be the one to shoot it and carry it off the mountain.
So I know somebody, Wild Bill, Bill Gibson from Spring Creek, Nevada. Bill has 50 plus or has been on 50 plus successful. He's got quite the reputation. In fact, there was a book, I think it was self-published. I saw it over at Grassroots one day in the used book section with a picture of Bill Gibson on the back. He's the guy to look up if you got questions about snowcock.
That's the guy.
That's the guy, Bill
That's
Gibson.
The guy. Bill yeah. Gibson. Spring
Wild
Creek.
Bill. I'll tell you some stories about him off air.
Yeah, no, they're pretty tough to hunt from what I've heard. I've never actually been out during a time frame to hunt them.
Same here.
I've just been in the area where they are. But you do have to, I think this year, you have to have your return card in for snowcock.
Okay.
If you've harvested one, your card has to be in or questionnaire has to be in by December 31st.
Okay. And you do, that's a good point. You do need a snowcock permit.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before you can get out and hunt snowcocks, you need to get on the endowlicensing.com, Calcami. You need to get on there and get your snowcock hunting use permit.
Okay. And at what, like $20, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So you need that in addition to your just general hunting license.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Yeah.
I think the snowcock thing might be free.
Oh, you just got to go do it?
You just got to go do it. And kind of.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like your hip number.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing.
Huns, we've talked before. You have not shot a Hun in the state of Nevada.
I have not.
Okay.
I have not had the fortune to shoot one of these things yet. Now, the Huns, Hungarian partridge, it's down a little bit from 2022, but not enough. The counts aren't down enough to where it's
changed
like
limits or anything.
Yeah, it's not a concern. It's just, you know, it's a standard fluctuation of populations and obviously surveys and stuff. You know, some of the best places to go for, if you're interested in harvesting one of these birds, which I'm interested in harvesting more than one, as many as I can legally, would be the Independence Range and the Tuscarora Range.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that was.
That's where that came from.
That's where that
came
from.
Okay.
Exactly. I was trying to recall in my brain and I was like, man, was it that bird or that bird? So, yeah.
Okay.
And also the rubies.
Yeah, rubies. There's other. Look, get out, put the work in. There's other spots for sure that hold Huns. And you know what's cool in Nevada? Huns, I tend to think of as a, like a farmland bird.
Yeah, you know? They're lower countries.
Yeah, so. You see them all over like the border with Washington and Idaho, Montana, yeah. the prairie portions and stuff.
Yeah.
But what's cool in Nevada is generally where you'll find them is some of the lower lying creek beds and springs and stuff where you find chukar as well.
Yeah, kind of like along the flanks and stuff of the
mountains. Yeah, yeah. I've never found them like up running ridges, but I have found them.
Maybe that's my problem.
Well, yeah, if you're going chukar hunting and you're running ridges, you'll probably just run into chukar. But if you find those spots where, you know, you're picking chukar off at a spring or whatever, there's some spots where, there'll be huns too. And they'll get up with them. And, you know, I've done it before where you shoot and you're like, oh, sweet. I got a couple. I got a double.
So are huns kind of like the fat cousin, you know, as
they're a little smaller.
Well, what I'm saying is as they're hanging out with the chukar and the chukar start going up the hill, they go up a little ways and they're like, I'm good.
They'll usually swerve off. Yeah. I was about to say, though, I've shot them that got up with chukar.
But
and I didn't pick
country,
them out. Yeah.
In the lower country. You're not catching them at the top of the ridges and stuff like that. Yeah.
So. I was walking a drainage. Birds got up, and it was blatantly chukar. I shot two of them. One of them just happened to be a hun.
Yeah, because the huns
like,
have that little brown ridging on their tail. So
and brown head, too.
And
they've
brown
got
head.
That. Yeah.
So we just came back from another attempt at patch sheep, and we were cruising up this one drainage. You know, we had heard chukar all day. I mean, I was just
dropping pins like a madman.
God, it was awesome.
Okay.
And all of a sudden we're kind of walking along and here's a group of birds in front of us. And Pat's like, dude, check out all those chukar. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, Pat, those aren't chukar. He's like, they gotta be chukar. I'm like, no, I think those are huns. And then they got up and flew, and you could see their brown head and the brown ridging on the tails.
And
I'm like, those are huns. He's like, there's no way. Huns aren't out here. I'm like, they're right there.
Oh, yeah. You guys are in 034, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
yeah, we are.
Yeah,
they're, cool.
They
so
are out there. Yeah.
I think I put like maybe five pins right there.
Good. Good, good. Yeah. Like I said, man, they're out there in some of those units that you don't traditionally think of as having any kind of farm country or ag or anything.
Yeah, they were up on it. Well, we weren't really high up on the hill. We were getting to a point where we were going to start hiking into the wilderness.
Yeah.
And there was this like really, really nice flat bench. And that's where they were. The creek kind of ran along the side of the bench.
Yep.
And it was, I don't know, maybe a five or six acre bench. Really nice, really smooth level.
Yeah.
And
they're very similar to mountain quail, inhabiting the same kind of terrain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what they kind of like the same topography or whatever. I don't know, somebody listening might say, Henry, I shoot mountain quail on ridges all day long.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe you do. I've never seen them up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, upland stuff, huns, quail, valley quail.
Yep, California quail. I mean,
everything's open for upland except sage grouse, right?
Yeah, sage grouse is already closed.
Right, right.
That one's done. And then, because chukar opens the 14th, so, and get out there, especially if you're really looking for the huns, which I will be this year.
Good, we'll get you some, yeah.
Yeah, concentrate on those few locations. I mean, there should be some there.
There were some changes. I mean, it's past, so the point's kind of moot, but sage grouse, I mean, this is the saga that's been going on forever, it seems like, with the dwindling numbers of sage grouse.
Yeah.
And I've heard all the arguments, the wind farm, fences, this, that, and the other thing. I think the biggest problem with the sage grouse population are feral horses, which I'm not going to sidebar. I do have a bone to pick with Endow. They refer to them in the survey as wild horses. They're not. So Endow needs to fix that.
Yeah.
But what were the changes to sage grouse?
Well, like this year, with the numbers are dwindling, so the take is less. A lot of areas have been closed off, but this year in Elko County, like 075, 101, and 102 were back open.
Okay.
With the same, September, I think it was September 23rd through the October 1st. The same limit you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Nye County and Lander County, the 7-2 and 7-3 were open again. Same timeline, 23rd through October 1st. Same thing, two birds. They had a couple areas where they opened up. They reopened Area 15. That was one of my spots I really liked. Last year it was closed off, but it was only open for 2 days.
Like a weekend, right?
Yeah, the 23rd and 24th. It was just a two-day deal, two birds. You know, it's probably going to be like this for a while, where you're going to have areas shutting down and other areas opening up, and
right.
maybe time, you know, make sure when you are like next year hunting sage grouse that you definitely look at your timeline in which you can hunt, because they vary almost by unit.
There's the wrap up on upland species. Let's dive into guns next segment.
Yeah, guns and chucker.
Guns and chucker. Don't touch the dial. Stay tuned to 99.1. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for hanging in there over the break. Let's talk guns for
uplands.
Yeah, we'll do general upland stuff. And first, hey, I got to plug the new Acrius over-under. Legacy Sports International, their pointer line of over-under shotguns. They now have they get them in sub gauges, 28 gauge and a 410.
Oh, wow.
So my buddy over there, Andy, has been out whacking doves with the 28 gauge. Man, I need another gun like I need a hole in the head, but that thing's pretty dang cool.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
Oh.
And it's like a toy. You know what I mean? A 28 gauge is like there's no weight to it.
No, they're pretty
tiny,
light.
Yeah, tiny little thing, but it's got all the case coloring or whatever on the It's pretty over-under? It's over-under, yeah. I think they're pretty dang affordable, too.
Yeah, you guys got
to
check those out. Because
yes.
From what I've been reading, like 28 gauge, I've got... You know, talking
to
other shooters and hunters, and you know, especially upland game, they're out there whacking chucker and quail with 28 gauges.
It's coming back for sure
right now.
I know a guy that hunts ducks with them.
Really?
Super selective. You know, he's not one of these skybusters taking like 50 plus yard shots. He waits till they're decoying and they're within about 20 yards, 25 yards maybe. But he's hell on wheels with the thing.
Wow.
He hunts exclusively with a 28 gauge.
Yeah. Me, I'm just too rich for my blood, man. Those 28 gauge shells.
Woo,
buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. You don't want to miss.
No, that's how I got with 16 gauge. Because that used to be my chucker gun, was an old Winchester Model 12 without the safety disconnect.
Right.
So when the birds would get up, all you got to do is hold the trigger down and pump it. And it would fire. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's why they were like trench guns in World War II
like
or whatever.
Yeah, lethal weapon style.
Yeah.
Right? No, gosh. No, so, me, it's a 12 gauge. I don't know.
That guy?
I am that guy. I don't have the confidence in my shooting, and it's reflected by the way my dog looks at me.
Understandable.
Yeah. So I have a 20 gauge. I have a really nice 20 gauge.
Okay.
And I've used it a few times. I just keep going back to that 12. I don't know. It's like I think like I'm going to shoot more birds with a 12. I missed just as much with the 12 as I had did with my 20.
Oh, then see, I would tell you to save yourself the weight and just carry a smaller sub gauge.
Yeah.
But you got to shoot what you're comfortable with. I will tell you, because of the price of 16 gauge, I've gotten away from using that. And the fact that I basically unload it like I'm clearing trenches in World War II when birds get up.
Sounds like
it's like eight. Well, you can fit eight shells in it.
Oh,
and you
gosh.
Just hold the trigger down and pump, man. And you get birds. But anyway, I've gone to a 20 gauge now. And I have found that, man, it's lighter. I don't mind carrying it all day because I don't use a sling. Maybe I should start using a sling. But
yeah, I've got a sling.
I just bear paw the thing. I like the 20, especially, man, you run those heavier, hotter pheasant loads in there. You're not handicapping yourself.
I think, like, what size load do you use for chucker?
I shoot sixes until almost the end of the season. Yeah. Ounce and an eighth?
Ounce and an eighth, yeah.
Yeah, that's whatever the high base 20 gauge Yeah. 3 inchers.
Yeah, the high brass ones. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's an ounce and an eighth.
Because I've got a case of that, and I have 2 cases of the 12 gauge.
Okay.
Sixes for Chucker, but
with the 12, you could probably get away with sixes the whole season.
Yeah.
That last couple weeks of the season, I'll switch to fives, and that might be a little overkill. But I find birds, you know, they're starting to get up at that. Instead of getting up at 15 yards, now they're getting up at like 30 yards.
Yeah, later in the season, yeah. So gun-wise,
yeah,
we're talking 20 gauge you think would be the best?
For straight upland?
For straight upland?
100%. That's where I vote.
Would you use a 20 for snowcock?
Oh, man, that's pure speculation, Dave. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never hunted them.
Anybody out there knows, like, what's the best gauge to use for snowcocks and what size shot?
Yeah, they're big birds.
It's a pretty good sized bird, like sage grouse size.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Is it 5 good? 4
5
good?
5 shots got to be fine. Because once you start getting into that 5-4 shot stuff, man, you're talking like turkey loads almost.
Turkey loads and shooting geese and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. And would you stick with a 20?
Well, again, I don't know. I think I'd take whatever I shoot best.
Yeah.
Okay, so your buddies that have hunted snowcock.
Yeah.
Do they ground swat them?
I know they haven't told me how they've harvested the previous ones.
Cuz I've heard that, man, if you get on them and then like shoot them on the ground, cuz when they dive off those cliffs, they're going so dang fast that if you do happen to hit the thing, it's 2,000 feet below you. So don't shoot them if they're going for a cliff and they flush, just let it be.
Let it go.
I don't know. I've heard that.
Yeah. Now, pump or semi-auto?
For Chucker?
Upland. Upland in general?
I'm a semi-auto guy, man.
Semi-auto? Yeah. So these are questions. We're throwing these out here for everybody who's listening. If you guys, some
feedback.
Yeah, if you guys want to throw some feedback to us, that'd be cool. Like, what are y'all using out there? I mean, you guys using your grandpa's old 10 gauge with 3 shot? I mean, I don't know.
Some tea?
Yeah.
What is that? Like, I think
commercial,
that's
commercial duck hunting style stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff. But I went from a pump.
Okay.
I had the old reliable 870.
Oh, man, that's, phenomenal gun.
Yeah, I still use that one for waterfowl. That gun has been dropped in the water.
Still works.
Ridiculous amount of times. I pump the shells out, blow the water out of the barrel, reload it.
And it's good to go.
And she just gets to ripping.
Yeah.
So, but I would.
What are you using for upland? You said 12.
Yeah, I use a 12 and it's a pointer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a pointer 12 gauge semi-auto. Okay. So. It's
not super heavy?
No, it's not super heavy.
Yeah.
It's a great gun, but I've transitioned to a semi-auto and, you know, I always thought, well, okay, if I get the semi-auto, I'm going to shoot better. I'm going to shoot better because now I don't have that.
You'll shoot more for sure.
That's exactly all it's done.
Yeah.
I don't hit any more birds, but I definitely go home with a few less boxes.
Lighter pockets.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so, you know, that's kind of my preference right now. 12 gauge semi-auto for all upland.
I hunted for a long time with a 12. I mean, I've bounced around with shotguns, but if I had to grab one gun, I think it would be that 20 gauge semi-automatic.
Yeah.
And that's what I would just run. And honestly, now for waterfowl too, out at the place I go to hunt ducks, they've now changed some of the border units that border the refuge out there.
Yeah.
To sub gauges only to pressure the birds less.
Oh, really? Well, this year might be a little different out there too, with all the flooding that occurred out there, and all
there's a
lot of work was done out there to create some drainage ditches and to removing some of the barriers. There's
dikes or whatever.
To break some of the dikes apart and then reroute some of the water and stuff. So it's going to be a different system out there. Plus, you know, Endow owns a fat chunk of it now. It's a new wildlife management area out there.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the group is still managing a portion for upland or for waterfowl hunting.
Yeah.
So that's all going to change. So if you're a frequent person out there to the Stillwaters to Stillwater Refuge. Make sure you definitely check out the waterfowl regulations for that particular area access, because some of the access has been kind of altered due to all of the
flooding.
The flooding.
Well, and let me step back. I'm fortunate enough to know somebody at the private club out there.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's when I say the border units, I'm talking about hunting private land out there.
Oh.
I'm not talking about doing the public land grind.
You're not
grind.
Talking about, gotcha. Yeah.
I'm older now. I've made friends with the right people now.
Yeah, well, that's a bonus there.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to stick with the 12 when it comes to waterfowl.
To waterfowl?
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I'm going to stick with the 12. It's been tried and true for me. So
if it ain't broke, man.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and
here's a good thing.
My favorite
too.
Thing's the teal jet, the flying jets.
Yeah.
Of course, I got to pick the hardest bird to, in my opinion, to get into the water.
Which one? Green wings. Okay.
Yeah, because you don't really get a lot of cinnamon teal because that's later in the season. At the very end of waterfowl season, you might poke one or two cinnamons that kind of migrate in like really early. Probably my favorite, but yeah, they come in like jet engines, like in a group of like 30, and they just swarm.
Yeah, I don't blame you then. Yeah, 12 gauge, even if it's a super light gun, I think of those. I forget who was making them, but there were some ultra light shotguns out there. If you can't shoot it, the weight savings doesn't matter.
No,
you know what I mean. Like, go shoot a couple rounds of sporting clays before you head out. Take a couple guns with you, blast away, see what you shoot with best. And I've shot that 20 gauge so much now that I just hit what I'm swinging on with it.
Yeah,
more often than not, which still for me is like 0.4 average or a 400 average. So I'm not talking about like I'm not one of those guys that birds get up and you know I've got half a limit as soon as they get up. That's not me.
No.
So
no.
I'm still a bad shot, but I'm a better bad shot
than you were
with my 20 gauge. Yeah. 20. What do we got coming up next, Dave?
Chucker. Final segment is going to be talking about the chucker forecast.
Chucker forecast, and let's dive into dogs a little bit too.
Okay.
I got some strong opinions
dogs
on that.
Dogs and chucker go together.
100%.
Ish.
When we come back on Nevada Backcountry, don't go anywhere. Thanks for hanging in there over the break. Final thoughts on guns. I wanted to point out, generally speaking, if someone shows up at chucker camp with a 28 gauge, that dude is getting his birds. I have not met a...
Well, you have to be pretty confident.
I haven't seen anybody show up with a 28 gauge that was not lights out with a shotgun. So
hunt next to them.
Yeah, that person's going to get their birds. Yeah. There might maybe a few extra for you. Before we launch into chucker forecast, dog, no dog, if you miss a segment of the show, don't forget, you can go to 991fmtalk.com, go to the podcast tab. The show is available there. It's also available on Apple Podcasts. If you have the app, just search for Nevada Backcountry. That out of the way, let's wrap this sucker up. Chucker
let's
forecast.
Yeah, so the chucker forecast for 23-24
looking strong.
Up. It looks really strong. We've had a couple rough years, you know, with drought and late rains and late snows or early freezes and
just
stuff.
Weird weather.
Just weather. Stuff happening. So, but this year, the increase is like 62%, except for in Pershing County. Pershing County is still below the threshold.
What was the issue out there?
Was it
drought based?
Well, not really. Not really in Pershing County. They got quite a bit. It could have been, you know, the time frame in which they acquired the water and stuff. It could have been. But
okay.
You know, but yeah, the thresholds across everything else, you know, Churchill County was through the roof. Mineral County was through the roof.
Yeah.
When it came to above threshold.
So people can't see. I'm grinning ear to ear right now because I like seeing this stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, you love to see, you know, western and eastern Nevada just finally get some really good precipitation at the right time to just allow our wildlife to just
thrive.
Just do an awesome, awesome recruitment. And
like if you've been chasing birds long enough, everybody has that season they remember where it was like around every corner, yeah, there were birds.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm grinning ear to ear, because I've also had those seasons where it's like, man, you can't find a bird to save your soul. Yeah, you find a few, but
yeah,
I'm looking forward to maybe a season like I've had in the past where it was like, oh man, there's just birds everywhere.
It drives you to keep getting out there more and more.
Yes.
I mean, there have been a couple seasons like you were stating where we'd go out for a 3 or 4 day run, and all we do is hear a chucker in the morning, and then you're chasing that sound and you're like,
yeah,
you don't see anything. So, you know, 3 or 4 times out, you're like, yeah, I think we're good.
I'm over this. Yeah.
But when you've got years where you're getting out there and you get a limit here, 4 here, 5 there, you know, another limit, you're like, I'm going back out this weekend.
Yeah. Even honestly, if you can consistently scratch out 2-3 birds a trip.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Hey, I'll take it. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And so it's been great. And a cool thing that has been going on since 2002 is like a citizen science program where Department of Wildlife is partnered up and approved the Southern Nevada Chucker, the Southern Nevada chapter of Quail Forever, to kind of help out and do some trail camera surveys for us.
Oh, way cool.
Yeah.
Now, where is that down, like Tonopah South or?
This last year, they were doing surveys, baseline survey work for gambel's quail, mountain quail, chucker, and they would primarily put them at really good waterways and the small game guzzlers.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so they did about 40 or so cameras this last year, and I guess they received darn near like 1 million photos. Million, yeah.
Whoa.
It was nuts. So that's really helped out in a citizen science program, as well as helped, you know, with determining how efficient and how often a lot of these guzzlers are used throughout the state, because it's a big chunk of time, money, coordination, organization to get even small guzzlers installed.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. And it's nice to see something like this where, you know, you have a fantastic foundation that is willing to get out there, put these cameras up, and not only let us know how well our small game guzzlers are working and how efficient, how well they were placed for what they're benefiting, but they're also helping us out with determining, you know, densities and everything else. And also it helps us to determine if they need any kind of maintenance.
Yeah, because
when you've got hundreds of guzzlers across the landscape, the Department of Wildlife doesn't have the resources and staff to go and check those every year to make sure that the pipes are in, they're efficient, they're not broke, there's nothing fell on them, you know, whatever it might be. But when you have these citizen science groups like this going out there and being your eyes and ears and helpers, dude, it's a win-win all the way across the board. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, the chucker forecast is looking fantastic. On average, it's like six birds per adult, where last year it was like 3.5.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So
yeah.
It's looking really good. But yeah, the one location, maybe, you know, focus. If you're a Pershing County hunter and you know where the birds are, you're probably happy to see that it's below the threshold, and people are going to probably, you know, like, oh yeah, we're not going to go out there this year. We're going to go run around in Mineral or Churchill, because those numbers are like crazy high.
I've told you before, there's that crowd out there that hates this thing.
Yeah.
Because it brings in hunters and look, I get it, whatever. But most of these areas, I mean, look at, well, I think Washoe County was slightly up or flat. What was Washoe County's deal?
Oh, Washoe County was above the threshold.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, look, Washoe County, it's a big county. We border California. So, yeah, there are going to be people driving over. There'll be more people hitting Washoe County, possibly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've got your spots, you've got your spots. I don't sweat it too much.
Yeah, I mean, and that was an average, that 6-point-something per adult. But if you want to talk Washoe County, they were at, you know, a little bit below that at 5.6 birds per adult, where get into Eureka County at 8.1, Churchill County at 10.5, you got Mineral County at 9.3. I mean, that's a lot of birds per adult.
That positive. We got some good chucker outlook. Real quick, let's touch on dog, no dog. And I'll share with you, I know somebody that is a very successful chucker hunter, doesn't hunt with a dog.
Yeah.
Dog, no dog.
Oh, man. So I have hunted without a dog.
Same here.
And it was tough for
pretty
me.
Pretty terrible, right?
It was pretty terrible. I mean, if you know where the birds are and you know the drainage is, you're like, yeah, I'm going to get into birds here. I know they're in here. That's not a big deal. I can do this. That's cool. Then you'll be able to. My thing was more of the retrieval side.
Oh, absolutely. Just finding the things when they drop into that rim rock.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you're 3/4 of the way up the hill and running below the ridge, and you jump some birds and you shoot one or two, and they cruise all the way down to the bottom before they lock up and T-kettle into the bushes, and you're just looking, 500 yards below you going, oh crap. Now I got to walk down there to get them and then hike all the way back up here to continue hunting. That's where I love having my English setter.
So you're an English setter guy.
I'm an English setter guy. Okay. His name's Gage and he is nuts, but I love him to death. But yeah, he'll run down there and bring it up to me within, I'll bet you, like 15 seconds. I'm back to hunting. To where it would have taken me a half hour. So that's where my wall is. It's like, okay, I'll do the no dog hunting.
Right.
But I'm not going to like it as much as with the dog. And plus, I love watching the dogs work. That's like more than half of my enjoyment of being on the mountain is watching that dog run that grid. And when it does come across that chucker scent and they lock up.
They hit that cone and start working.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, that is just money.
As we were talking about off air, that's about the only time I like my dog. That's the only time I like my dog is when she's working birds.
Yeah, when she's working birds.
But Dave, let's get out of here, man.
All right, buddy. It is hot.
So for listeners out there, man, if you would like to rent a commercial property, get in touch with Nevada Commercial Services. You too could do business out of a complete hole without air conditioning. It's just how they do business. I appreciate it. I found vagrants smearing their feces on the walls at times. It's a phenomenal company to do business with. Get in touch with Nevada Commercial Services if you too would like to rent a hole to do business out of. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're out of here.